from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, I am not surprised that ABC has canceled Jimmy Kimmel. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. And we have a lot to talk about. By the way, this afternoon, I want you to write this down. If you are anywhere in the Memphis, Tennessee area, 6 o'clock tonight, we're having a big welcome celebration. We're welcoming the National Guard and all the other federal agencies coming to town to declare war on the gangbangers and the thugs. So we're very excited about that. 6 o'clock across from Mission Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We would love to see you out there. As a matter of fact, yours truly has been invited to say a word or two, possibly three, and looking forward to that as well. So very exciting times in the Memphis area as we get ready to restore our great city. Jimmy Kimmel, let's talk about this for just a moment, because there are multiple angles to this, and I know everybody is all fired up. People are disgusted. They're accusing President Trump of declaring war on the First Amendment. It's just really remarkable. So, first of all, we need to understand something here. There are rules that govern what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot do on network television. That's a longstanding part of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. Every TV station, every radio station has to abide by these rules. Now, for cable television, it's a very different story. There are no such rules. So cable television, for example, So occasionally you will hear someone on, say, CNN or PMS Now, and they will utter a bad word, like a naughty word, like mother fornicator or something like that. And you'll notice, wait a second, they didn't bleep mother fornicator. What's going on there? Or, I don't know, bull excrement. How come they didn't do that? How can they? Because they don't have to. So there are rules. The rules are different. Now, if you said you're nothing more than a sorry mother fornicator on, say, CBS or NBC, well, then you would get in trouble. And the same rules apply for the radio side, which is why Dylan has to use the bleep button every time we play some audio from Democrats. They're a very foul-mouthed bunch, by the way. So all that to say, I'm not terribly surprised that little Jimmy Kimmel got himself whacked. And I want to talk about why. And because there is a little concern here about the current leadership of the FCC, and I'll get to that in just a moment. And we talked briefly about that yesterday, about the Republicans overstepping the mark. So let me just say something. First and foremost, this has absolutely nothing to do with Donald J. Trump. ABC did not bow down to the Trump administration. The Trump administration did not call up Donald Trump and say, "We're so sorry, Mr. President, that you've been offended. We're going to pull Jimmy Kimmel off the air." First of all, he hasn't been fired. He has been suspended indefinitely. The show has been suspended indefinitely. Jimmy Kimmel is still under contract with ABC. And it very well may be that they bring this guy back. I don't know. That's a possibility, I suppose. But the reality is Jimmy Kimmel has done things that would get conservatives not only canceled from TV, but literally ostracized from society. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fact that Jimmy Kimmel used to dress up in blackface. And Jimmy Kimmel's a white guy. And he used to dress up in blackface. And if anybody else would have done that, they would have lost their jobs. But for whatever reason, I don't know what kind of photographs he has of the ABC uppity-ups, but Jimmy Kimmel's got him, and so he's been able to keep his job. And then, of course, along comes this horrible, horrible thing he said about Charlie Kirk and saying that the guy who shot and killed Charlie Kirk was a member of MAGA when in fact he was not. Look, it was a lie. But even worse worse than that, in late night TV, it wasn't funny. And Jimmy Kimmel stopped being funny a long time ago. And I remember a time, and many of you are old timers, and you'll remember these days. Now, I was a little fella, and my mom and dad always made us go to bed. We were not allowed to stay up and watch Carson. That was the big thing, right? Back in the day, you got to stay up late and watch Johnny Carson. And that was really cool because that's what the grown-ups did. And Johnny Carson was hilarious. But Johnny Carson never told political jokes like they tell these days. Johnny Carson was, when he told a joke, it wasn't to offend, it was to make people laugh. And people love that. The early days of David Letterman, before he grew the beard and decided to audition for Lord of the Rings, David Letterman was funny. And it was just a wild, wacky show, Conan O'Brien. And Conan O'Brien still is to some, but I'm just telling you that late night TV has changed because this is not what it was supposed to be. People wanted to have a good chuckle. They wanted to laugh. They wanted to hear a good song or maybe watch a fun interview with a Hollywood celebrity and then go to bed. But now you tune into a show like Jimmy Kimmel's and you can't go to bed because your blood pressure's sky high. So anyway, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And what do you think ABC ought to do here? Because they do have to figure this out. Do they bring Jimmy Kimmel back? Or do they do what CBS did, which was give Stephen Colbert the heave vote? Is that what they do here? So ABC, or rather the New York Times, reporting on this, saying the network did not explain its decision, but there was a sequence of events. And one of them came when Brendan Carr, who is the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, suggested that the government might take action against ABC because of the comments that Jimmy Kimmel made about the killer of Charlie Kirk. And this is where I'm getting a little nervous because, ladies and gentlemen, we can't have the government doing something. Look, if they do this, if the government is the reason why, if the government is forcing ABC to do this, that's a big problem. Because then the government can turn around and they can try to pull something on conservatives. And we don't want that to happen. Again, let the consumers, let the viewers work this out. Because these things are being worked out. Jimmy Kimmel's ratings are in the toilet. Advertising dollars are dwindling. And the guy's going to get canceled one way or the other. So here is a Cut 22 FCC Chairman Brendan Carr.
Yeah, broadcasters are different than any other form of communication, including here. We're on cable right now. Fox News doesn't have an FCC license. CNN doesn't. But ABC, CBS, NBC, those broadcast stations do. And with that license comes a unique obligation to operate in the public interest. And over the years, the FCC walked away from enforcing that public interest obligation. I don't think we're better off as a country for it. But look, President Trump ran directly at these legacy broadcast outlets, and he exposed them to these market forces. And a lot of these affiliate groups said, to your point, we're tired of carrying this stuff. Late night shows, something's gone seriously awry there. They went from going for applause, from laugh lines to applause lines. They went from being court jesters that would make fun of everybody in power to being court clerics and enforcing a very narrow political ideology. And Nexstar, as you noted, stood up and said, look, we have the license and we don't want to run this anymore. We don't think it serves the interests of our community. Sinclair did the same thing. So there's more work to go, but I'm very glad to see that America's broadcasters are standing up to serve the interests of their community. We don't just have this progressive foie gras coming out from New York and Hollywood.
All right. So let me explain what's going on here. So you have a lot of TV stations around America, and they are owned by these companies. And there are two very large groups. One is called Nexstar, and the other is called Sinclair. And so they own a lot of the radio stations. You may have a Nexstar or Sinclair station in your particular town or city. And so Nexstar came out. They were the very first ones right out of the gate, the president of Nexstar. And here's what I mean by affiliate. In other words, Aaron, some of their TV stations are ABC affiliates, so they carry the ABC programming. And that's where their obligation is, but that's also where it ends. Now, Nexstar said that it strongly objects to recent comments made by Mr. Kimmel concerning the killing of Charlie Kirk, and they will replace the show with other programming in its ABC-affiliated markets. Andrew Alford saying this, Mr. Kimmel's comments about the death of Mr. Kirk are offensive and insensitive at a critical time in our nation's political discourse. We do not believe they reflect the spectrum of opinions, views, or values of the local communities in which we are located. In other words, they're getting calls. So when Kimmel made this comment, and just hear me on this, this is not happening in a vacuum. What happened was people started picking up the phones and calling and complaining, not to Nexstar headquarters, but to the local TV affiliates. That's what's going on here. Mr. Alford goes on to say, continuing to give Mr. Kimmel a broadcast platform in the communities we serve is simply not in the public interest at the current time, and we have made the difficult decision to preempt his show in an effort to let cooler heads prevail as we move toward the resumption of respectful, constructive dialogue. So there you have that. Now, Sinclair, which also owns a number of stations, posted something similar, but they said they took it a step further. And Sinclair said, hey, look, this guy's got to apologize. They're demanding an apology from little Jimmy Kimmel. The company's vice chairman, Jason Smith, calling the comments, which implied Charlie's killer was a member of MAGA, inappropriate, deeply insensitive. So instead, they're going to be airing on Friday a remembrance special honoring Charlie Kirk in place of Jimmy Kimmel's show. They said, we believe broadcasters have a responsibility to educate and elevate respectful, constructive dialogue in our communities. We appreciate FCC Chairman Carr's remarks today, and this incident highlights the critical need for the FCC to take immediate regulatory action to address control held over local broadcasters by the big national networks. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, does the show need to go? Does ABC just need to kick little Jimmy to the curb? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today.
Chat show host in America last night, Mr. Kimmel. Is free speech more under attack in Britain or America?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else, and he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings, and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you can call that free speech or not. He was fired for lack of talent.
Not very talented. Mr. President, not pulling any punches there. The president across the big pod, wrapping up that big two-day trip to the U.K. What a... Man, they just rolled out the red carpet for President Trump over there, and we appreciate that. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Heading down to South Mississippi, Paul is on the... Paul, what part of South Mississippi are you calling from?
Go, Jake.
All right. Well, we're excited to have you with us. What's on your mind, Paul?
Kick him to the curb.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Kick Jimmy Kimmel to the curb. That's why I don't watch him networks no more, because people like him and just done it.
So was this the final straw for you?
Yes, sir.
Well, Paul, we got your opinion here. So you say that ABC needs to kick Jimmy Kimmel to the curb. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jerry the Liberal joins us. All right, Jerry, what say you?
You know, Todd, if people don't want to watch this show, that's fine. The problem is when the FCC chair, Trump's appointed chair, puts his finger on the scale and tries pressuring license holders, the same thing he did with Stephen Colbert. That's the problem I have with. You know, I have no problem with people choosing not to watch a show, Jimmy Kimmel's or Colbert's show. You know, that's the free marketplace of ideas. It's when the government, and Brendan Carter's the government, is doing that, then Donald Trump doesn't have to do anything. But when Carter's doing that, I mean, who's to keep anyone safe? Liberal, if an FCC chair appointed by a Democratic president tried to do that against you in the future, you know, as you said, that would be, you know, a bad thing to happen. If something like that happened.
Yeah, look, so here's what he said. I want to read verbatim what the FCC commissioner said about Jimmy Kimmel. Quote, "This is a very, very serious issue right now for Disney. We can do Disney owns ABC. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to take action on Kimmel, or there is going to be additional work for the FCC ahead." So the question now, Jerry, was that a direct threat or was that just a general warning?
That sounds like something a mob boss would say. you know, that's what it sounds like to me. You know, it's like it would be a shame if something nice, something bad happened, you know.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you're going to do something, here's what you might want to do.
Yeah, I mean, all Americans should be scared at this idea of the government doing this implied threat or non-implied threat to that. I mean, what's the First Amendment means that the government could do this? Just threaten news media or threaten broadcast licenses. I mean, I don't know why people aren't aghast at this.
I'm Jerry, you know me. I'm a pro-Trump guy. I've been with Trump. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. Up from day one, not ever going to waver on that. But the Republicans in general have a problem. When they get power, they go overboard. And we ended up with the Patriot Act, which means I get felt up at the TSA checkpoints, and I always get stuck with the guy with the clammy hands, a little too touchy-feely for my taste. Then you got you got what happened during the China virus, and now this with Pam Bondi coming out and saying, well, Office Depot's got to print the pictures, no matter if they agree or don't agree. Businesses must do as the government instructs. I got big problems with that kind of. It's just government overreach.
Right. And you know what? You posted a tweet about that, and I posted the exact same tweet with the exact same conclusion. If Bondi does that, then bankers would have to, like, sell cakes to, like, gay customers.
Jerry, don't say that. That's not helping my cause.
I told the exact same thing.
You and I are not allowed to agree that much.
It's the same logic. It's the same concept.
Lord, now Brendan, Brendan Carr is going to come after me. Jeez, hello. Thanks a lot, Jerry. No, look, here's the deal. We've got to have a limited government, and this is the reason why. And you know, we're going to keep calling them out every time they do it. And that's not to say that I'm enraged over what's going on, but we can't have more government. Big government's not the answer. Jerry, got to run. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I just got a note from our good buddy Wyatt Cox over in Nevada and said, Stearns, you know that those stations in Utah, the phone lines blew up over all of this. Yeah, no doubt about that. By the way, we're hearing, and we're working to confirm this. I'm not going to give out the name of the TV station, but I've very good sources in Memphis, Tennessee. And I will tell you that one of the TV stations, the newsroom, erupted in cheers and celebration when the word came down that Charlie Kirk had been assassinated. And the celebration was so vile that they had to call a company-wide meeting to address proper behavior and decorum in the newsroom. We're waiting to hear back from we reached out to the corporate headquarters of this particular TV station, and we're giving them a chance to respond to this and explain what exactly course correction they're going to make sure this never happens again. But I suspect that's the norm. I suspect there were many TV stations around the nation and newsrooms, especially where something very similar happened. It's pretty despicable. And this is what gets me, and this is always the tell when it comes to whether a person's a leftist or not. I don't care who you are, but if you die and you're a person that is known, whether in politics or celebrity, we always mourn the loss of that person. And you know why? Because as a conservative, life matters, right? I mean, this is one of the reasons why conservatives are pro-lifers, because we believe that every life is precious, a gift from God, that we are all made in God's image, including little Jimmy Kimmel, who's a godless heathen sinner, but we're still all made in God's image. We don't wish death on anyone. You say, well, Tom, what about the death penalty? Well, yes, there is a price to pay when you take a life. So I'm telling you, folks, I'm not terribly surprised of the reaction. It's horrible. It's disgusting. But this is where we are right now. We live in a very, very ugly world and an ugly nation right now from a spiritual standpoint. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to point something out here. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, ABC is bending and they're bending to the pressure coming from the FCC. And they very well may be. And I think what Mr. Carr said, while it may have come from a good place, it is not. That is not a good thing for the FCC to do. Because when the Democrats take control, they will crack down on every conservative talk radio station, conservative TV station, Christian radio, you name it, they will come at us with a guns a-blazing. So here's what I want you to understand about Jimmy Kimmel, because this is important. The reality is that ABC was well within their rights to get rid of this guy and a long time ago. And it's not just the blackface. Again, the idea that a white comedian in this day and age would be able to dress up in blackface and mock black people, and all he had to do was apologize? I don't know about that. But anyway, let's set all of that aside and hear me on this. Jimmy Kimmel was making between $15 and $18 million a year. his audience was collapsing. He was dead last in the ratings. Did you hear that? Dead last in the ratings. Stephen Colbert averaged 2.2 million viewers. Jimmy Fallon, 1.1. Pardon me. Jimmy Kimmel came in third place at 1.7. 1.7 million people. That's it. The guy's hauling in $15 to $18 million. Meanwhile, Greg Gutfeld over at Fox News Channel, he's hauling in over 3.2 million viewers. There you go. That's the reality of the situation. Nobody was watching. He was literally hemorrhaging viewers as well as advertisers. Let's go to Doug in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our terrific affiliate there. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Well, this is a terrific affiliate. We love you here in Georgia.
Well, thank you.
I feel for what...
Whoops, I think we lost Doug. You know what, Doug? Let's put Doug on hold for a quick second, and we're going to get all that worked out. I will say this, and I'll give you an example. Let's just say one day, you know, we have an obligation to all of our affiliates, right? WDUN's an affiliate. We've got KYKN, a great affiliate. We have a great affiliate in Bartlesville, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Moorhead City, Statesville. You see what's happening? I'm going to name all of them. We have 170 stations around the country that carry this show. And I, Todd Stearns, the host, I have an obligation to make sure that I protect the FCC licenses of every single radio station that I'm on. And every other radio host does as well. And if I showed up one day and I announced to the good people of Gainesville, Georgia, that Todd Stearns, I was renouncing sweet tea and I was renouncing fried chicken and biscuits and I was going to dedicate the rest of my life to being a vegan, they would be well within their rights to pulling me off the air. God forbid that happens. Oh, I'm talking about being a vegan, not pulling me off the air. I just got a shudder. I need to get some fried chicken for lunch. But what I'm saying is that we have an obligation here. Oh, by the way, Dylan, I have to tell you this story. You know, we were talking about late night. Were you a big Kimmel guy?
No. I'd never really found him funny, more offensive than funny most times.
Was that the one with the little – did at one point he have like a little midget person?
I think he had the Guillermo.
Guillermo. Yeah. Was he like a little fella? I mean,
he might have been shorter than Jimmy. I don't know.
That may be my bad. I think I just canceled myself.
I think you're thinking of Lord of the Rings.
Little people. Wait a second. Was that? No, that's Brian Stelter over at CNN.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. Okay, this took an odd turn. So you're not a big Kimmel. I'm sorry. I guess I need to apologize. What's his name? Guido?
Guillermo.
Oh, Guillermo. Wrong. That's wrong ethnicity. My apologies.
Which I never really understood Guillermo either.
He's not Italian.
It just wasn't funny to me.
No, it wasn't. And maybe if they did some bowling with Guillermo, I don't know if that's... No, that's... Sorry, that was the Wolves of Wall Street. Sorry.
Jeez.
Wow. It's Thursday, isn't it?
It's Thursday.
Thank
almost Friday.
The good Lord. So look, I was a big Conan O'Brien fan and David Letterman fan mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yeah, I like Conan. He's pretty funny. He doesn't get too political, which I mean, you know, it's just funny. It doesn't have to be divisive.
Right. It's like, you know, Letterman, like 1990s David Letterman was awesome. I'm not sure what happened after that. But it was so cutting edge, so funny, and Letterman was irreverent. And then Conan comes along, and he was just, I really enjoyed Conan.
Yeah, early Conan days might have been some of the most funny like talk show host days for like late night.
So you remember the insult comic dog,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, yeah. The guy walked around, and who was it? Hold on. It's Robert Cop Hall. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. All right, here we go. Robert Smeagol, right? Didn't he do, like, the ambiguously gay duo and all that? The guy's hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyway, Triumph was like this dog puppet that smoked a cigar. And they would go around and they would, you know, Triumph would like interview people. And it was very insulting. Then during the interview, Triumph would insult you. And that was kind of like the shtick back in the day. So in 2006, I was, or 2008, the Republican National Convention, I'm there as a reporter for Fox doing my job. And I turn around and there is Triumph, the insult comic dog, staring right at me. It took me by surprise. And then he just starts interviewing me. He's got like a Rottweiler, right?
Yeah.
And so at the time, this was, again, this is at the Republican convention. And so they were trying to figure out where the weapons of mass destruction were. That was the thing. Where are the WMDs? Which is a fair question, actually. But anyway, Triumph goes, where are the weapons of mass destruction? We're looking for them. And I think I found them. They're hiding in this man's large belly.
You became a victim to Triumph.
I'm like, I'm loving this. And I know he's insulting me, but I couldn't help but smile. I'm like, because, you know, you're getting insulted by Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Because it's actually funny.
Yes.
Other than some of these other people.
And so I tried to be funny back, but I don't think I was. I think I just made him mad. I'm like, oh, I get it. You're trying to be funny by saying that the weapons of mass destruction are in my belly because I'm overweight. Oh, that is funny.
You ruined his joke.
I ruined the joke. I know. It's not good.
It's okay.
But anyway, I got my picture with the guy.
Good.
Which is really the puppet. So
you were on Conan.
I was on Conan. It was a great moment in my career. So anyway, that's my late night story. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, let's go back to Gainesville, Georgia. Johnny, WDUN. Hi, Johnny. What's going on?
Hey, time and taxes. What about you?
Not much. What's up? Got to keep it quick.
Okay. First of all, you know, I could care less about Colbert, all them people. They're sick then. But anyhow, my beef is, we love Charlie Kirk, but the girl in Charlotte that was masked, that was murdered, I haven't heard hardly nothing about that. But if it would have been a white guy that murdered a black woman on the bus, oh, all hell would have broke loose.
Well, I think, and you're talking about Irina Zarutska, who is the Ukrainian national killed in Charlotte, North Carolina on that light rail train by the black dude. And look, no doubt about it, it was taken off of the front page of, you know, not only the national media, but also I would say conservative media. Everybody's focusing right now on this Charlie Kirk situation. But you're right, Johnny. I mean, it's a major story, and it is symptomatic of a much broader national issue regarding crime.
Yes, and I have one more thing, and then I'll be gone. You tell me how you can be a Democrat, liberal, call yourself a Christian, but yet follow the Democratic platform. It's impossible.
Johnny, I'm with you. I don't get it. And I get a lot of blowback every time I mention that, but it's true. I want somebody to explain to me how it is, and Johnny, I think, did a great job of summing it up. How can you call yourself a Christian and a Democrat and celebrate the assassination of somebody? How do you do that, ladies and gentlemen? I don't even know how you sleep at night. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Crazy story. This is out of Springfield, Oregon. Anybody out there know where Springfield is? I don't know much about the community, but I got to tell you, they got a lot of kids that are conservative out there. Thurston High School, where the students walked out. Why did they walk out of class? Because they're sick and tired of these heathen teachers talking smack about Charlie Kirk. Take a listen.
Obviously, at Thurston, we have a history of shootings happening at our school, and murders had happened on that day, so we just don't want to stand for the murder that occurred on that day.
If you're going to be okay with murders, I mean, what else are you really okay with, you know? Now, the students say they plan on remaining outside until the end of the school day in hopes of bringing attention from not only the community, but the district itself. The post the students are protesting, which has been shared across social media platforms, shows the employee sharing a news article about Kirk's death with the comment, "Good." Now, we did reach out to the district, which says it is aware of the post and concern from parents who are saying, quote, "The views expressed in the post do not reflect the values of SPS. As a public school district, we're committed to providing a safe and respectful environment for all students, staff, and families. While we cannot comment on the individual personnel actions, know that we are taking this matter seriously."
Well, there you go. Good for you, kids, and you keep that up. I made a promise. I've spoken at two Charlie Kirk vigils, and I made a promise to the kids, and we've made the promise on this radio program that we're not going to ever again allow conservative kids to be bullied. Those days are over. We're not going to tolerate that. And if you bully a child, you get fired. That's the way it has to be. And we need more people across the country to stand up and push back on that one issue. We have got to eradicate the infestation of radicalism in our nation's taxpayer-funded classrooms. And we also have to come alongside the teachers who are good guys, the teachers that are trying to do the right thing. They just want to teach the kids how to read and write. They want to teach the kids about American history and science, maybe even how to drive correctly. By the way, I've noticed that since the Highway Patrol has arrived, everybody's driving the speed limit in Memphis these days. How about that? It's amazing. When you actually have more cops on the roads, people actually obey the speed limit. Go figure. So anyway, good for these kids out in Springfield, Oregon. And this is happening all over the country where kids are really finding their voice. And they're saying, you know what? Yeah, it's okay to be a girl. It's okay to be a boy. It's okay to stand up and be pro-life. It's okay to love God. It's okay to talk about Jesus in public. The kids are pushing back. They're saying, we're not going to be silent anymore. We're not going to be quiet. We're going to be respectful. We're going to be happy warriors, but we're going to stand up and we're going to fight for our rights. Isn't that what Ronald Reagan said? You know, I wrote in the book Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You know, that Reagan gave a speech. And in that speech, Reagan said that our national anthem is so unique because it's the one anthem in world history, the one anthem that does not make a declaration. It is a series of questions. Can you still see the flag? Is the flag still flying? Is it there? Does it still wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? It's a question that every single generation of Americans, we must answer for. And when old Todd Starnes, I guess about 40 years from now, is heading off to glory, I want to be able to say on my deathbed, yeah, the flag is still there. Under my watch, the flag, the red, white, and blue still waves. But this is something that every generation has to rise up and stand for. And thank goodness for these kids, these young kids out there, Generation Z, they're standing up and we need to stand alongside them. They're not afraid. I love that. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We got some Jasmine Crockett news. She's back to shucking and jiving. We'll tell you all about that coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello. Happy to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. A lot going on out there. We have a lot of news regarding Charlie Kirk. Also, more National Guard news from around the country. I want to start, though, with this bizarre story that is starting to creep into the national media, and we need to talk about it so you can be aware of it, because it is not as it is being portrayed. So there was just a horrible story on the campus of Delta State University. That university in the Mississippi Delta, a fine school. They call themselves the Fighting Okra. That's the nickname, the moniker there, the Fighting Okra. So anyway, there was the body of a young black man, Demartravian Reed, was found hanging from a tree. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. This happened on Monday. Ben Crump, the civil rights race agitator, is already weighing in on this. So you know where all of this is going. So let me give you some background here. This is from the reporting of the Clarion Ledger, which is owned by Gannett, the publishers of USA Today. Mr. Reed was found hanging from a tree on campus, and the coroner has ruled the death to be suicide. Now, you would think there would be a full stop right there, but that's not how these stories go. As a matter of fact, the president of Delta State University is adding even more gasoline to this fire. Dan Ennis, he was asked about accusations by some family members they had not been contacted by the university regarding the details about their loved one's death. And it turns out there's a reason why. Because this kid left behind a note saying he did not want to talk to certain family members. So it seems to me that law enforcement is trying to be as gentle as possible here and as courteous as possible. But the university president said the image of a black man hanging from a tree in the middle of the Mississippi Delta speaks to a strained history of race relations in Mississippi, the South, and throughout the United States. Again, I want to ask a question here. How many lynchings have there been here in the 21st century? It's really not even a delicate question. I'm just asking. Because now the university president has just turned this story into something that it was not. The president of Delta State, who the Clarion Ledger identifies as a white man, said, quote, "While the preliminary report indicates no evidence of foul play, we recognize this is not just about facts." Can we stop here for just a minute? If it's not just about facts, what the hell is it supposed to be about? Are you kidding me? We recognize this is not just about facts. It's about emotions and it's about feelings. The way this loss was discovered affects people's lives. I recognize that I am not adequate to speak of the imagery that this scene raises. I acknowledge my weakness there. Okay, so you're a white guy, but you're a woke white guy. Well, what does your skin color have to do with anything here? So let's go back here. They've already said the kid committed suicide. It's a terrible tragedy. A terrible story. And now the president of the university is coming out and saying, well, you know what? Yeah, he committed suicide, but we need to talk about white people lynching black folks across America, because that's apparently a big problem. No, Dylan, no. Bubba Wallace, that was a lever. That was not a rope hanging out of the NASCAR garage. That was something to pull the garage door down. That was not a lynching. That was, yeah. Oh, geez, hello. The university president defended the way they handled the matter. They said the students actually choose who they want as their personal contact. From the moment we discovered this, the university's been in regular and frequent contact with the next of kin. This was a choice by the student. And the choice of the student has to be respected even when the student is no longer with us. I recognize there are family not being contacted that are not the names that Trey gave us. I am so sorry for that. So now social media is blowing up, and you're going to be hearing all about this. I mean, this is it. There will be a narrative that white people are lynching black folk in the South. According to the Clarion Ledger, many social media posts say that Trey Reed had two broken legs and other injuries that would have prevented him from hanging himself. Now, there have now been threats made against the university, and people are all up in arms. Now, buried in all of this coverage is one very important fact. Well, there are multiple facts, but this one's important to the conversation here, because this university and this moron president is just pouring gasoline, and this will explode into a national issue. And it doesn't have to be, because it turns out there are actually videos. According to the Clarion Ledger, there are videos related to the hanging of Reed, and those videos are now being part of the investigation. According to the police, there are videos out there. We cannot speak to that, but we will not speak to it. Reed was found hanging from a tree about 60 yards from the back of the cafeteria and near the dorm's pickleball courts. Last Friday, Ben Crump, now representing the family, demanded that the video be released. The family also wants to pursue an independent autopsy. Ben Crump says Trey's family deserves answers they can trust. We cannot accept rushed conclusions when the stakes are this high. By demanding the family be allowed to view any video and commissioning an independent autopsy, we're taking every step to uncover the truth. All right, great, if that's what they're really after. But they're not after the truth. They're after a check here. That's what they're after. They're after money. That's what they're after. So I will say this. You got videos? Put them out. Go ahead and just, because once you put the videos out, those videos, if in fact they show what the police say happened, then it will put this entire matter to rest, we think. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you start seeing stories in the national media about white people lynching blacks, that's where it came from. Unbelievable, unbelievable what's happening at Delta State University. And quite frankly, Governor Tate Reeves might want to step in here and have a very long conversation. Sounds like they need new leadership at Delta State University. Time to get rid of the woke white dude. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So, can we talk about Jasmine Crockett?
Shuckin' and jivin'.
Ow! Good. Go. Well, Jasmine Crockett's back. She's got new glasses, by the way, new eyewear. Does she really have a problem? Does she have a vision problem, or are those just like fake glasses? They're giant. They look like dueling television sets. That's how big the glasses are. Dylan, you're laughing. You've seen them.
I can confirm. I thought they were sunglasses.
I'm like, whoa, what? It's like Phyllis Diller.
They are huge.
All right, so Jasmine Crockett is going after Cash Patel. Take a listen. Cut 14.
But when I say that you are the least qualified FBI director in the history of the FBI, that is real, because you are the only one that never even served with the FBI prior to joining. Yet we are supposed to believe that
that's
you are
false.
The greatest thing since sliced bread. I didn't ask you a question. Now,
what
I want to go through is to talk about why you are a failure and why, honestly, we just need to tell you bye-bye. And frankly, when people sit around and say things like, oh, you know, we're happy because now we feel safe. I don't know who feels safe in this country except for the white supremacist, because I specifically, as a black woman, definitely don't feel safe. I don't have any confidence in you. And if we start talking about the reasons that I lack confidence, we could start with you not just wanting to acknowledge some simple facts. Simple facts like the vast majority of the threats are coming from right-wing extremism. So I'm confused about what it is that the FBI is doing except for trying to put on a show for the apprentice or whatever you want to call him. The day after all of this took place, there was domestic terrorism that was taking place at HBCUs. They were targeted. Yet I didn't hear anything from the FBI about what was going on. And again, black people kept saying, how did we end up in this? Because the numbers are so very clear that white supremacy is a problem. And honestly, I've not heard anything out of you today that makes me believe that you're going to do anything about the white supremacy problem, the one that is leading to children being killed, children being shot, as well as members of their community as they're working, as they're worshiping in their churches.
I didn't ask you a question. I didn't ask you a question.
That's Jasmine Crockett there. I'm just shocked at her deficient linguistic skills, seeing how she was educated at some of the most expensive schools in the nation. And if I were her parents, I would be demanding a refund, because clearly something's not going on well there at places like Rhodes College. But anyway, I just have one question. Does Jasmine Crockett have a problem with Indian American people? I have never seen someone so condescending and treating an individual like Kash Patel, who is a very well-educated man, a very accomplished man. I've never seen anyone treat someone with such a dismissive attitude. So I'm just wondering, and I'll say it out loud. I mean, does Jasmine Crockett have a problem with Indian Americans? Just wondering. That's what we do here. We ask the questions that people are afraid to ask. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, Bill O'Reilly weighing in on all of this. He was hanging out with Chris Cuomo last night on News Nation, cut number 25.
What Kimmel did is inexplicable to me, and maybe he'll come on your show and explain it to you or my show, the No Spin News. He had to know on Monday in his dialogue how raw the country was over this assassination of Charlie Kirk. He had to know that. And to use his monologue, which is usually comedic, to mislead the entire country by implying that MAGA Trump supporters were really behind the murder. To do that, I'm saying you have a battery of writers, you have a producer on your program. Didn't no one red flag you on this? Did no one say anything about this? This isn't about censorship, all right? This is about responsibility. And as you pointed out correctly, every corporation has a responsibility to make sure the product it is selling is an honest product. And by saying that MAGA might have been responsible for murder, not only is that defamatory, but it's outrageous.
Well, it is outrageous. And let's talk about that for just a moment. And here's the problem for people like Jimmy Kimmel. They're stupid. That they really are not all that well educated, and especially on issues like the U.S. Constitution. Now, I had a chance last night to go back and read the U.S. Constitution. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in that document does it say that ABC is obligated to employ Jimmy Kimmel. Not there's I went back and forth, went online and did a search. I could not find anything in the Constitution that said ABC is obligated to employ Jimmy Kimmel. ABC's only obligation, and of course the parent company Disney, their only obligation is to make money. That's it. And by the way, all of the affiliates, the TV stations across America that carry ABC programming, they too have an obligation to their viewers. And I suspect they heard from a lot of their viewers. So again, going back to the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, he's right to be outraged. I get that, but you can't go out there and threaten ABC or CBS or NBC. You can't do that. That's not your role. It's not your role to shut down Jimmy Kimmel. That's the responsibility of ABC. Based on the complaints they're getting from all of their viewers and the affiliates that carry all of their programming. Now, I want to play some audio here from Chuck Schumer. This is back in 2023, because the Democrats are out there saying, we are the defenders and we are the protectors of free speech in America. Harumph, harumph, harumph. This is Chuck Schumer in 2023, demanding that Tucker Carlson be fired.
These lies continue tonight. Rupert Murdoch, who has admitted they were lies and said he regretted it, has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight, now that he's seen how he has perverted and slimed the truth, and from letting him go on again and again and again. Not because their views deserve such opprobrium, but because our democracy depends on it.
Oh, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, you had people on CNN and PMS Now. They were all out there talking about how people need to lose their jobs. People like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, Roseanne Barr. There are dozens and dozens of conservatives in radio and TV that have been canceled. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody said that we were burning the First Amendment. Nobody said anything about that. So again, I think you have to be very, very careful when you're looking at this issue. And ABC is well within their rights to do whatever they want to do to any of their employees. And may I suggest, after they finish with Jimmy Kimmel, they can start taking a long, hard look at those squawking magpies over on The View. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, this is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and Dylan, this is our first call that we've had Jasmine Crockett episodes before, but now we have a Jasmine Crockett caller. Chuckin' and jiving. Ow! Good. Let's go to Murph in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. Just an observation regarding the distinguished representative from the state of Texas, Representative Crockett, a member of the loyal opposition. It's just curious, at least among the Democratic Party and the Democratic train of thought, that if their message is so true and if their message is so affirmative, why is it that they rely on name-calling and accusations that are very suspect, especially regarding the leader or the chief executive of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? So I was just curious if you have any Democratic-leaning listeners out there. I would covet some type of commentary on what their philosophy is, other than take from people that earn it and give it to people that don't. So take it from there, good buddy. All the best.
Yeah, Murph, always good hearing from you. And, of course, Murph is a retired history teacher, ladies and gentlemen, and we love his great observations all the time here on the program. I want to bring into the conversation Republican strategist Luke Symbol. Luke, good to have you in studio today.
Todd, it's good to see you.
You know, it's interesting as we're sort of working through the events really of the past, you know, multiple days. It feels like an entire month has gone by here. So much news and information related to Charlie Kirk. We now understand, by the way, the breaking news of the hour. Erica Kirk is the new CEO. You voted unanimously by the board, so she'll be taking over Turning Point USA. Your reactions?
You know, I'm excited about this. Erica had been doing more and more speaking engagements. She had been leading more efforts at Turning Point. My understanding is multiple folks at Turning Point said Charlie had told them that that would be his wish. If anything ever happened to him, she was more than capable. And it's interestingly enough, they were on a podcast together here over the last few months. And he said, you know, America should be very scared of Erica Kirk because she, compared to her, he was a moderate. I mean, apparently she's pretty conservative and unafraid to say so. So we'll see how she does. Prayers for her as she still is recovering, obviously, from the tragic assassination of her husband, and prayers for her as she leads a really important organization that had a major impact in 2024 and will continue to do so.
The response is just overwhelming, staggering, of these vigils all over the place. I know that you guys have seen you know, a huge numbers coming out. Have you noticed from a Republican Party standpoint, are people making calls? Are they joining the party?
Huge. I actually just had a text message this morning from somebody who was at a vigil saying, you know what, I have been to a Republican meeting. I didn't talk to a whole lot of folks. I really want to get plugged in. How do I get plugged in? And so we're getting them plugged in. And Todd, young people reaching out to our local Young Republicans chapter, reaching out to Turning Point chapters. It's like nothing I've ever seen. Our local Republican Party, their social media has grown by 20% in the last 6 days.
Wow.
It is unbelievable. People are fired up. They are done. And this whole movement of moderate Democrats saying, you know what, I do not associate anymore with the Democrat Party. There is a fringe left that is not being called out by the Democrat Party. I can no longer associate with them, and they're changing their registration.
But hold on, though. Is it really fringe, though? I'm thinking this is mainstream.
You know, you're right. Polling showed yesterday that about 23-24% of those who identify on the left said that political violence is appropriate when there is language with which they disagree. That, you're right, that is not fringe. That is a quarter of the Democrat Party. A quarter of the left thinks that it is okay to use violence when they hear speech with which they disagree. That is terrifying.
This is the actual headline from The Hill. Liberals more likely to say political violence sometimes justified.
And we look, this is something we've known. I think anybody on the right and any honest person in the center would tell you, objectively speaking, the left has a problem with political violence. We have been seeing it for decades. We have, you know, Ann Coulter wrote a book in 2011 called Demonic, talking about the liberal mob and how the mob, demonic forces arise out of the left and out of leftist ideology. And so, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise to us, but it's really, really scary. And I applaud President Trump for designating Antifa a terrorist organization. That is hugely important. And we have got to dismantle and follow the money.
Got to. This story from the New York Post, an Oberlin College student casually calling for political assassinations to continue in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. She said, quote, "We need to bring back political assassinations." Her name, Julia Zhu. That's XU. Oh, my God. She's got like Jasmine Crockett-sized glasses. I mean, it's like Mr. Magoo.
It's just, it's disgusting. We have to continue to call it out. And, you know, I really think that the Democrat Party is complicit for not calling it out. And they are partly to blame. largely to blame.
This girl on the advisory board for the campus group Gender, Sexuality, and Attraction Initiatives. They support queer, trans, and women's programming. She uses they, them pronouns and is a member of the Students for a Free Palestine. It's like she's batting 1,000 here on the leftist groups.
Yeah, what was that UT professor who was fired, the professor of queer anthropology or so? What, do you know what queer anthropology
is? I don't
know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I do not know.
But there is a lot of connection with this gender crap and these violent activists. That is a common theme. If you find somebody obsessed with gender, honestly, I'm to the point where chances are they are radical activists, violent.
You've got you had the Islamists, you've got Antifa, you've got these trans terrorists is what they are. This is a dangerous, toxic mess, and I think that we're going to see more violence. I have no doubt about that. I just truly believe we're going to see more violence.
I agree. And, you know, we've been hosting, I've been helping host vigils across the Memphis area here for Charlie Kirk. And all of our local police departments are now doing air surveillance of rooftops. They are using, we had probably 60 agents of some sort sweep the fields for all day long before the event for bombs and things like that, because that is how bad the violence has gotten on the left.
It's insane that it comes to that, just to hold a prayer vigil.
It is insane, and we've got to call it out. And Democrat Party, where's Nancy Pelosi on this? You know, I haven't heard her denounce leftist violence.
Great question. And you're not going to hear any of these people announce it. I mean, even Obama out there yesterday trying to blame Trump. And this was what was so rich about that. He said, well, you know, we really don't need to weigh in on any of this until we know all of the facts. This is the same guy. Every time a black person got in trouble, he went out there in front of the cameras and weighed in, from Trayvon Martin to the cops acting stupidly. It's, this was Obama's MO. This is how he operated his presidency, was to get out there and say something, making everything about race before he actually knew the real story.
I want to see a line graph of attacks against police officers from 2000 to now, and you will see, I bet, a staggering increase once Obama became president and started, you know, he tried to be so subtle and smooth about it, but people knew exactly what was going on. His ideology is what contributed to the BLM movement that ultimately burned down our cities in 2020 and continued the escalation. And we've got to, it's going to be hard. And I think you're right. There's going to be a lot more violence, but we've got to rein it in.
Now, the other big story, and of course you're here in Memphis and the National Guard coming to town, the Democrats are, they're using terms like occupation, that it's, they're acting like we're being invaded.
Completely fear-mongering. They are trying to make this a race issue. Disgusting, morally depraved language they are using to try to pit race against each other simply to clean up our city and solve the crime crisis. It is unacceptable, and the Republican Party of Shelby County here in Memphis is going to be calling it out tonight at a press conference. I think it's going to make national news. We are done. And it is clear that if you care about solving crime and cleaning up crime in your cities, folks, you have got to vote Republican and hold your Republican elected leaders accountable as well. If you live in a red state, demand more from your governor and from your state legislature if you have a crime that is overrun, if you have a city that is overrun with crime, because enough is enough. And what is happening in Memphis today is very sad, and you are going to see a strong response from the Republican Party.
Here is here's a local resident, cut number 7.
Need help. If it can save one life, I'm happy with it.
People could be concerned that they're, it's not normal to see, militarized people out in the street.
No, it's not. It's not normal, but I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. They have to do what they can to kind of take back control of the city.
And here's a lady from an area that has just been overrun with crime. I mean, people go to bed every night and all they hear is gunfire in the Orange Mound community, cut number 8.
I am a citizen here, and yes, I do believe that the guards coming here is really necessary, because this city really needs cleaning up.
All right. So, well, it does. It really does. And so tonight, There will be a very large gathering. And where can people go if they want to get more information on attending tonight's event?
Look at Facebook, Republican Party of Shelby County, or ShelbyGOP.com. We've got to come out, bring your flags, bring your homemade signs, and say thank you, President Trump, for doing what it takes to clean up crime in our cities. We do not have to live this way. And it's time for the law-abiding majority to take back our cities so that we can go to the grocery store in peace, we can go to restaurants in peace, we can raise families in peace, we can own businesses in peace. And we enough is enough. And what is happening in Memphis, I believe it is going to be hugely successful regardless of the local Democrats trying to make this into a race issue. It is going to be hugely successful, and I hope that we can mirror it across the country.
All right. Luke Symbol joining us today. Luke, we will see you later tonight, 6 o'clock.
See you tonight.
All right. Hang tight, everybody. Your calls coming up next. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Dave in Salem, Oregon, KYKN. Dave, you guys are blessed with a great radio station out there. Good people.
Yeah, they are. They are. I appreciate your show, and I just was telling your screener I had a thought on these people that are, you know, okay with the political assassination. Maybe hasn't been thought through all that well. My thought was, so if they are saying that, if you ask them, so we disagree politically, so does that mean it's okay if I shoot you? Not you, Todd Starnes, but you, the person that's okay with the political assassination. I don't think they've thought that through all that well.
Well, Dave, one of the things that they really don't believe, I don't think that we're Nazis. But they want to use that kind of language to dehumanize you. So therefore, people are being shot because, you know, they're being called Nazis. So that's what concerns me. And I mean, when you're out there every single day calling conservative Nazis and white supremacists and racists and xenophobes, eventually that is going to trigger somebody to get out there and do something horrible.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, like I said, the thought, you know, may not carry a lot of water, but it's like, so are they then telling us that if we were to propose shooting them back, that they're like, oh yeah, definitely, that's her game? I think they probably wouldn't agree with that. So it just shows more of the lunacy of the far left or whatever that translates to. So.
Wow. Anyway. Yeah. No, Dave, I really appreciate you calling in. And it is something that we have to address, this culture, this assassination culture, as the study at Rutgers University, as they called it. I mean, it actually has a name. So we've gone from cancel culture to now assassination culture. And let's just say for the sake of the argument that it is just one third. I think that number is actually higher. But a third of all college kids believe it's okay to use violence to shut up somebody that you disagree with. That's a lot of people, a lot of potential terrorists out there. And that's why we've got to really, really take our safety seriously and security. We've got to take it all seriously. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Yesterday during the Cash Patel hearing, I heard that Congressman Steve Cohen, who's a radical left-wing Democrat, he's far out there. Even this guy gets it when it comes to crime in the district that he represents in Tennessee. Take a listen to Cut 11.
Director Patel, I believe you had primary importance in starting Operation Viper in Memphis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You did a good job Police director and the mayor have told me that that has been helpful, the FBI working with the police. And the FBI are trained in law enforcement. They know Miranda rights. They know how to do policing, and they do a good job working with the police. And I commend you for what you did, and I think the FBI coming in. We have a crime problem in Memphis. The FBI has helped. DEA will help, and the ATF will help. I don't think the National Guard is going to help. And what I've seen, they're not trained in law enforcement, are they?
No, sir.
And so that could be a problem. Have you visited Memphis before?
Yes, sir, I have.
So you know how good a city it is.
I love Memphis.
A lot of us do. And Memphis is a great city, great history. Civil Rights Museum might say something about slavery, but that was history. It needs to be taught. Blues, Elvis.
Beale Street,
right. Barbecue. We love our city, and we hope that the National Guard doesn't come in and cause people to have questions about Memphis because it's a city they should visit.
All right, that was up on Capitol Hill yesterday. It's interesting because the news coverage was really focused on his objections to the National Guard coming in. The local newspaper did not mention a single thing about the radical Democrat lawmaker acknowledging that we have a big crime problem here. So Congressman Steve Cohen, the Democrat, actually agrees with our great president, Donald J. Trump. By the way, can we talk about the First Lady? Wow, stunning. Her gown last night at the dinner, just jaw-dropping. People are really, really loving our president and First Lady in the UK. And what a wonderful thing that King Charles did and the Queen Consort, Camilla, and just literally rolling out the red carpet and giving our president such a regal welcome. We certainly appreciate that. All right, hang tight. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Last night on Newsmax, had a great conversation with our good friend from New Jersey, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, touching on a lot of the big issues of the day. Let's take a listen. Joining me now, the man delivering that passionate message, Congressman Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey. Congressman, good to have you with us. I wish I could tell you I'm surprised by this, but it's just insane. And I'm curious, what exactly were they looking at when it came to Charlie Kirk?
Well, let me tell you, just in general, we were a whisper away from losing America, because America, the concept of the United States of America, is based upon freedom of speech. That's the most important. All the amendments to the Constitution are important, but that is the most important one. And of course, Charlie Kirk, what did he talk about? Faith, family, freedom. And there were people in key positions in the FBI that were opposed to those thoughts and thought they were going to crack down and make it uncomfortable. So it was Charlie Kirk, and you were moving kids in colleges and going to universities, and he was unafraid. He told the truth. He told what he believed. But I tried to spell out there in that clip that you had, it happened to many people. It wasn't even only Christians. It was religious Hindus who don't bother anybody in their temple. And that was right in New Jersey. It was God-awful what they did to them because they weren't fitting into the typecast that they had. You know, and thank God those days are over. I pray to God we never go back to them. But what is frightening is how damn close we got. We have to definitely always protect that First Amendment. We've got to keep our America. We've got to keep our country.
Congressman, when you look at what happened to Charlie Kirk and the aftermath of it, so many millions of kids, young people especially, that are stepping up and they're standing up and they're being vocal about their beliefs. The left doesn't want them to do that, but God love these young people.
Well, the left made a mistake here. They assumed that people were going to crawl up on a ball and hide in their bedrooms, that they wouldn't stand up, that they wouldn't be unafraid, but they are. It's gotten to the point. People ask me, do you worry about getting shot? No. Be unafraid. Stand up for faith, family, and freedom. Stand up for America. Young people have a renewed energy. They understand how important this is, and you're not going to stop it. We have our right to believe in those American values that are so important to us, and they tried to do everything they could to quell it, to stop it. They still do. They're trying different mechanisms. They do it by, you know, social networking, what's going on in the different platforms on the internet. There's still things going on. Look what is happening in the United Kingdom. Look what's happening in the European Union. If you express a viewpoint that is different than the woke, left-wing, agnostic, atheist viewpoint that they want, they're going to go after you. And we've got to be careful that doesn't spread to the United States, because the internet goes to everyone. We're going to stand strong. We're going to be unafraid. We're going to stand up for what's right. We're going to stand up for America, for everyone, across all faiths, all religions, all ideas, to be able to speak and express themselves freely. That is the beauty and the greatness of America. And by the way, when we allow all that, America, democracy, the republic, this nation will always prevail.
Yeah, look, I want to shout out the national anthem and to wave a flag by what you just said, Congressman, but the reality is, at this hour, you have a political party called the Democrats, and they are out there trying to blame President Trump for this, trying to accuse Charlie Kirk's murderer of being MAGA. They're out there saying absolutely harass conservatives wherever they are. You know, they're telling us we got to start singing Kumbaya, but the other side wants to shoot all of us singing Kumbaya. How do we fix that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, first we have to establish a set of rules. That's what we're changing. That's what we're doing in the FBI, in the Department of Justice, throughout our government, that everybody who is doing what is right, and by that I mean is not threatening people's lives, is not inciting violence, is not committing violence, has a right to say and believe what they want to do. And we have to stop what they are doing on the left, which is not telling the truth. I want to come together. I love people. But we, at this point in time, this is a time where we have to stand up. We have to stand tall. We have to believe in what we say and do. And we have to keep that faith, family, and freedom. I keep saying that over and over again. So at this time and in this place, our job number one is to make sure when lies are told, we tell the truth, to make sure that when we're about to lose America, we don't let that happen again, and that we keep America. In other words, we've got to do our job. We have a job to do in Congress. Be unafraid. I keep saying that, but I really mean it. And if you think, you know, I'll just speak for myself now, that I'm going to step back, or I'm going to be weak, or I'm going to curl up in the fetal position and be afraid because of all the pressure, you're wrong, and they're wrong. We're going to be stronger than ever. Keep up the attacks, and we're going to get stronger. So it's time to establish America as it's always been, and then to maybe then, when they recognize that, maybe then, but only then, we can come together.
And that's Congressman Jeff Van Drew out of the great state of New Jersey. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, guess who is watching Rob Finnerty on Newsmax? None other than President Donald J. Trump. He says Finnerty's show is terrific. Millions are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night, 8 o'clock Eastern. All this week, Rob looking at the media's war on the president. He's giving you the facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, telling you the real truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files, and he reveals the big media agenda on the president's health. That's why you need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your local cable system. Newsmax, of course, on all major systems. You can download the free Newsmax app. It costs nothing, and you can watch in minutes. Finnerty, the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we really are real news for real people. You know, we were talking last night on Newsmax about just the level of vitriol on so many university campuses, and it's always fun to have Dalton Glasscock, the CEO of my company, on. Dalton, also a city councilman in Wichita, Kansas, and Josh Jones. We had a terrific panel discussion last night. Let's take a listen to some of that.
Well, joining me now, Dalton Glasscock, a city councilman in Wichita, Kansas, and Josh Jones, a Republican strategist. Guys, good to have you with us. Dalton, first to you, and I know that you were at a Charlie Kirk rally last night in Wichita. What is the level of vitriol say about our culture right now?
Well, there's a YouGov poll released yesterday that showed that young liberals in this country are more likely to support political violence than any other demographic of people. And so that's why speaking out and speaking boldly and speaking with courage and speaking with faith matter. And yesterday I saw that in Wichita. We had more than 2,000 people attend a memorial vigil held by the Turning Point chapter of Wichita State. Just a few years ago, the Wichita State Turning Point chapter wasn't allowed to exist. It took a Supreme Court ruling from the Student Senate to allow them to be an RSO because the Student Senate denied their permit to be a group on campus. And so this is a dramatic shift that we just saw from a few years ago to have 2,000 people, many of which young people, come out and support a man that stood by his faith and stood with courage and conviction.
Josh, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas now calling for teachers to be fired and students expelled for those inappropriate comments. Let's take a listen.
We have a problem in our society that we need to come to grips with, and that is a murder of somebody, an assassination of somebody. It is something that's tragic, especially a person who leaves behind a wife and two kids who now not have a father. We as a society, we as a state, must send a signal that behavior like that, celebrating an assassination, is wrong in a civil society.
Josh, is the governor right here? Do we have a big problem in our society?
Yeah, the governor's absolutely correct. Anybody celebrating political violence should accidentally be shunned from society, especially those in positions of public trust, especially in our education system, and especially in K-12, teaching the next generation and instilling values. That's a place to learn your basic skills and not push a political agenda. So I'm glad the governor is going after these people who are celebrating a death of a father of two. And other governors should follow suit across the country. This isn't something conservatives should back away from. And it's absolutely not only morally right, but politically the correct thing to do here.
Yeah, Dalton, I want you to check out what happened in Rhode Island. There were some students. They're fighting back their teacher. They reported their teacher to the school board. The teacher allegedly called Charlie a piece of garbage in the classroom. Let's take a listen.
Charlie's wife did not deserve to lose her husband. Charlie did not deserve to lose his life because of a different opinion. But this teacher deserves to lose his job.
As civilians and people of our great country, we hold ourselves to a higher standard than to support, or worse yet, rejoice in violence. Someone who advocated for an arrested murderer and assassinator of one of the greatest debaters and free speakers of our time should have no place in the classroom, more so around young children.
As a student of Barrington High, I do not feel comfortable or safe with one of our teachers supporting violence.
Dalton, what do you make of that? It sounds like these kids have said enough is enough.
The First Amendment protects freedom of speech for the government. It doesn't protect you from the consequences of your own action. If you've lost trust from your students, it goes back to what Josh said. Because when you're in positions of public trust, you are expected to behave at a higher standard. And I believe deeply in freedom of speech, but I also believe deeply there should be consequences for your action in this country. And defending murder is pure evil. And those people should not be in positions of public trust. And I think they should be called out. And we should call them out boldly and with faith and with genuine conviction and love and try to pray and hope for their hearts to turn. Because I cannot imagine that wickedness of celebrating anybody, even any political enemy's death, especially one of a father, a 31-year-old father. I've asked multiple people that have expressed radical views online, is what is the difference between a 31-year-old friend and a 31-year-old conservative who just has a higher position of power? What is the difference from your uncle or your neighbor who believes what Charlie Kirk believes and his influence? The only difference is influence of power, and I think that is unsettling in our community, and we have to repair that before it gets out of hand.
Josh, in South Carolina, Nancy Mace, a congresswoman, sending out a special invitation to her constituents. She says, if you know of any professor, teacher, or public employee in South Carolina who is excusing or celebrating this violence, contact our office immediately. I'm kind of glad to see people fighting back here, guys. And Josh, we have seen our university campuses use our tax dollars to radicalize kids, and that's got to stop.
You're absolutely correct. The education system in this country, particularly when it comes to higher education, has absolutely turned into a tool of the left to indoctrinate the next generation. I mean, you can see that. But Charlie Kirk and his mission and Turning Point USA's mission, they've been turning the tide on that or being the turning point on that. And you're seeing that play out in the tragic aftermath of Charlie Kirk's passing, is all these universities and high schools even across the country filing the great Turning Point USA chapters. So I think that's a positive sign for the conservative movement here, that conservatives aren't backing down and letting the mob get their way, but rather rising up and speaking out and doubling down on these principles that we know work and know are true. And Nancy Mace is absolutely correct. Not only, you know, as we saw in Texas with the governor, but congresspeople should be also holding public officials and people in positions of public trust accountable here. And I'm glad that there's kind of a unified front across the right to tackle this head on.
Dalton, you work with a lot of young people there in Wichita. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Matt, on one thing Josh said, politics is the solution to bloodshed in our country. When you can't win out the ballot box, that's when people are resorting to evil actions, including what happened last week. And so they know that their ideas aren't winning at the ballot box, and so they're trying to find other measures to succeed. It's unacceptable. It's intolerable. It's un-American. And every single person has to be held accountable.
It's a great point from both Dalton and Josh there, and glad that we've got some strong conservatives coming up in the ranks, and we need more lawmakers, and we need to be electing more lawmakers like that no matter where you are. By the way, the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, that's going to be held Sunday, and they're expecting the entire stadium is going to be filled up, over 60,000 people. They're opening up another arena just for the overflow. So they're expecting tens of thousands of people at Charlie's memorial service. President Trump is going to be there. He'll be speaking. Erica Kirk is also going to be speaking, as well as the vice president. We understand Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, will be there. Tucker Carlson, Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as well as Stephen Miller, and many, many others. So this is going to be really an amazing event. The service actually starts at 2 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, I'm sure many of the radio stations that you are listening to this program on will be broadcasting that service live as the nation comes together to say farewell to Charlie Kirk. But let's get real. It's not farewell. You're seeing the crowds, right? Are you sensing here that we are at we are at a turning point? I think this is one of those moments in American history where the country is taking a hard turn, except this time it's to the right. So we're getting away from the communism and the socialism and the culture at large, or at least a vocal segment of the population is saying, we're not going to be silent anymore. For me, this is exciting. And we see these videos coming out from all across America, and it's almost as if the leftists are now being shamed, which is exactly what they should be. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we'll be touching base also. We've got some audio coming up here from Jasmine Crockett, as well as the vice president. And she is just completely off the charts. Actually, we have time for this. This is Jasmine Crockett saying it's impossible for her to feel safe in America now.
And frankly, when people sit around and say things like, oh, you know, we're happy because now we feel safe, I don't know who feels safe in this country except for the white supremacist. Because I specifically, as a black woman, definitely don't.
Oh, shut up, woman. Just shut up. We've had enough of you. By the way, Stan from Memphis. We had a caller, Stan from Memphis. And Stan disagreed with me. And we invited him to come on the air, but he wouldn't tell us what he found objectionable. He would not tell us what he wanted to disagree with me on. And there could be a lot of stuff. But Stan refused to tell the lovely Miss Cassie why he wanted to come on. I just disagree with Todd. About what? I disagree. I'm not going to tell you. He said he wasn't going to tell. Well, you got to tell Cassie. And again, we've been pretty open about this. If you disagree with me, we take your call first. I mean, that's how it works. It was really easy, Stan, and you blew it. You had the chance, Stan. You had the chance. Glory was almost in your grasp, and you let it slip away. Hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, Kamala Harris back in the news. I keep forgetting about her. It's like she just completely disappeared. Poof, she's gone. So Kamala Harris now revealing in her book that Tim Walz was not her first choice as vice president. Wow, this is terrible. If you're Tim Walz, you know, Governor Jazz Hands, hello, boys, girls. Hello, I'm an assistant football coach, Jazz Hands. It's very off-putting, that man. Something a little off. So anyway, it turns out that Kamala Harris, her first choice as a running mate was Pete Buttigieg. I'm stunned. Reading from Fox News, former Vice President Kamala Harris revealed that Pete Buttigieg was her first choice as running mate in last year's presidential election, but such a pairing was too big of a risk. That's according to an excerpt from her upcoming book. I thought the book was already out. I had no idea. The book titled 107 Days, Buttigieg, the former transsec, that's nothing sexual, that's the transportation secretary, that's the abbreviation. Also, the former mayor of South Bend who could not fill potholes. Buttigieg is gay and would have been an ideal partner. Well, actually, technically, no, Kamala, that's kind of incorrect there since you're a chick. He's not into you. Don't take it personally. Going back now, Buttigieg, the former secretary of transportation, who is gay, would have been an ideal partner, quote, if I were a straight white man, Harris wrote. But we were already asking a lot of America to accept a woman, a black woman married to a Jewish man. Part of me wanted to say, screw it, let's just do it. But knowing what was at stake, it was too big of a risk. And I think Pete also knew that too, our mutual sadness. Really? Is that it? So what she's saying here is that America is homophobic, racist, and anti-Semitic. All in one sentence. I'm fairly certain that's not it. Honestly, if, you know, looking back, there was no way Trump was going to lose this race. But I think she may have actually done better had she had Buttigieg on the ticket. In the 107 days excerpt, Harris said Buttigieg initially led the 8 names on her vetting list for running mates because, quote, he is a sincere public servant with the rare talent of being able to frame liberal arguments in a way that makes it possible for conservatives to hear them. I love Pete. I love working with Pete. He and his husband, Chastity, are friends. Pardon me, Chasten. Is it Chasten or Chasten? What an odd name for a young person. So I'm curious about this. So are they trying to, and hear me on this, there's a reason this is coming out now, and I'm wondering if they're trying to position Pete, for Mayor Pete, for a possible presidential run in 2028. Because the Democrats are in the throes of chaos right now. They've got no money. They've got no leadership. They've got no vision. And right now it's a free-for-all, and the people winning the argument, the people winning the day, are in fact the radicals. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Harris's book, set to come out next Tuesday, called 107 Days. Interesting. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there's a story from yesterday, and we didn't get to this, and I wanted to get to it. This happened last night. So there was an effort to strip Ilhan Omar of her of her committee assignments. And they had the votes, but then they didn't have the votes. And now we understand that four House Democrats voted with Democrats, four House Republicans voted with Democrats against a measure to censure Ilhan Omar. This is a no-brainer here. Here are your Republican renegades, the traitors: Mike Flood, Jeff Hurd, Tom McClintock, and Corey Mills. Nancy Mace enraged. She says all four men voted to shield a woman who mocked the cold-blooded assassination of Charlie Kirk, a woman who belittled a grieving family. It's terrible. 210 Democrats and four Republicans just sided with Ilhan Omar over Charlie Kirk. That's how she described it. By the way, Mark Levin, the great one, says that all four need to be primaried and defeated. I mean, it's disgusting. It's beyond disgusting that we elect these people, and this only happens with the Republicans. It never happens with the Democrats. Democrats always do things in lockstep, I mean, for better or for worse. But we have four rhino thugs, and they could not even do the right thing and remove Ilhan Omar from her committees. How do you do that? You people out there in Nebraska, Mike Flood, Tom McClintock, California, Jeff Hurd, Colorado, Corey Mills, Florida. Man, that guy's turned into it's like a dumpster fire. Hurd, McClintock, and Mills defended their decision to shoot down the censure, arguing such a measure would be an attack on free speech. McClintock says Ilhan Omar's comments regarding Charlie Kirk are vile and contemptible. They deserve the harshest criticism of every man and woman of goodwill, but this disgusting and hateful speech is still speech and is protected by our First Amendment. Censure is formal punishment by the House, and we have already gone too far down this road. You think the Democrats would stop there? Do you think they would? I don't think so. The congressman goes on to say that Omar's comments were not made in the House, and even if they were, they broke no House rules. A free society depends on tolerating all speech, even hateful speech. So McClintock is basically endorsing and defending Ilhan Omar here. I mean, that's what's going on here. And so far, so are all the others. Congressman Jeff Hurd, perhaps the most contemptible, using Charlie Kirk's name to make his argument, saying that Ilhan Omar's comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, as well as her comments about those who supported Charlie, are ghoulish and evil. He goes on to say, "I voted against today's censure because it tried to strip another member of Congress from committees and to silence her for exercising the First Amendment right to free speech. The right response to reprehensible speech like this isn't silence, it's more speech. That's what Charlie Kirk believed and practiced, and I agree." That coming from Congressman Jeff Hurd, who's clearly smoking something out there in the great state of Colorado. By the way, more people now calling on Congress and the president to create a national holiday to honor Charlie. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Is it just me? All the people that are celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk are among the most outraged over ABC's decision to suspend the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Have you noticed that? These people are more upset that Jimmy Kimmel's off the air than anything else. These people are going bonkers. Here is CNN's little dwarf king, Brian Stelter. They call him Mr. Potato Head. Cut 23, please.
Kimmel was expressing what we've heard some other liberals say in recent days, that the motives are unclear and that maybe the suspect in this case was a Republican or was some sort of far right fringe figure. Of course, there has been a lot of discussion about that in recent days. There's a lot of evidence pointing in other directions about the suspect. But Kimmel was on the air talking about this, making a very serious commentary amid his jokes in his monologue Monday night. Here's where it became interesting earlier today. The FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, went on a far-right webcast and condemned Kimmel and urged ABC to suspend him. He also talked about possible regulatory punishments of Disney because there are lots of different stations that have licenses with the FCC. Within the past hour, we've heard from a big owner of stations that have affiliations with ABC, a company called Nexstar, saying that they were going to suspend Kimmel's show on their station. So in other words, about two dozen stations were refusing to air Kimmel's show tonight as a result of this controversy. And then, following word that some of those stations were basically revolting against Kimmel, Disney, the parent company of ABC, decided to yank the show entirely.
Oh my gosh, the guy's voice is just monotonous. I mean, it's just, hello, my name is Brian Stelter, and I'm really upset about my friend Jimmy Kimmel being taken off the air because he really was a great fan of America, and Donald Trump is an evil orange man bad. Good Lord, man. Get through puberty for crying out loud. So while all that's going on, you've got all these Democrats up on Capitol Hill that are raising holy you-know-what, including Eric Swalwell and others. That guy, just unbelievable. Can we go back in time? This is who we're talking about. Cut 27.
Let's be honest. It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for health care, for our climate, for science.
All right, we're good.
Journalism.
We're good. You know, I choked up. He choked up when he was talking about the illegals. And you know why? Because this guy probably employs a lot of them, right? I mean, he's making $18 million. He's not living in some sort of a duplex. You know, that guy's got a highfalutin mansion, so you know he's got to have somebody to mow the grass, trim the hedges, probably wash the car. You got to have a couple of maids. So that's why he's upset. He's going to have to start hiring Americans now. That was Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, the night after President Donald J. Trump won the election. And I say, good for you. Good for you, Donald J. Trump. The president, of course, earlier today talking about that and saying that the guy had no talent, and he had no talent. Oh, yeah, here's a Swalwell. He's really upset. Cut 19.
Congressman, I see you are wearing a hat. What does that hat say?
You're damn right I am, John. I was a guest on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. He every night has a right to come into any house that wants to watch and entertain Americans, just as Greg Gutfeld on Fox has a right to be not funny and go on his network and entertain Americans. It's a part of who we are, John, and frankly, it should shake every American that the President of the United States is out there firing comedians who make fun of him. That is not who we are. And every American should care and stand up to this.
Oh, my. All right. Let me explain this to you. First of all, no. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't have a right. And by the way, neither does Greg Gutfeld. If Greg Gutfeld's numbers were in the toilet, Fox would be well within their rights to give that guy the heave-ho. And they've done that over and over and over again with people. That's the reality of it. He talks about Greg Gutfeld not being funny. Well, you know what? 3.4 million Americans would disagree with you, sir. As a matter of fact, Greg Gutfeld is the number one primetime late night show in America. So I don't know what Swalwell is thinking here, who's giving him the talking points, but he showed up on the cable news channels wearing his little Jimmy Kimmel hat, like he's like a groupie or a fanboy. You're damn right, I'm really upset. I just really love my friend Jimmy Kimmel. He makes me giggle in all the right places. Dude, I mean, really? So, good luck to you. Again, I don't think, and I may be wrong here, but I don't think ABC's going to fire this guy, because if they fire him, they're going to have to do something about those gals on The View. And as bad as Kimmel is, what they're doing on ABC's The View is off the charts insane. But you do wonder at the end of the day, you've got, this is all about business. This is all about making money. This is about paying the bills. And you wonder if a lot of these business executives in these newsrooms, and a lot of them didn't even come up on the news side of the business, so this is a great annoyance to them. The fact of the matter is, and this is getting lost in all this controversy, Jimmy Kimmel's job was not to weigh in on politics. Jimmy Kimmel's job was to entertain people. I mean, that's ultimately what he was all about. To make people laugh, to be entertaining. He's not a political talk show host. And maybe, I don't know, maybe, just maybe, PMS Now might be willing to hire this guy at $18 million. $18 million? That's insanity. But some people are going to pay it. What are you going to do? But he'll find, if in fact he does get the heave-ho, I have no doubt he'll find some other home, whether it be like CNN, PMS Now. Is there any other channels out there? I don't know. CNBC? Could be. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I want to play this. Vice President, let's go back. Jasmine Crockett was talking about white supremacy, and Vice President Vance wanted to weigh on that. Let's play her comment first, Dylan, and then the Vice President's response.
And frankly, when people sit around and say things like, oh, you know, we're happy because now we feel safe, I don't know who feels safe in this country except for the white supremacist, because I specifically, as a black woman, definitely don't.
Well, I'd ask Jasmine Crockett, what is it that you want people to do when you call them Nazis? What is it that you want them to do when you call them fascists? What is the proper response when you say that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Charlie Kirk are threatening your safety? What do you expect people to do? This rhetoric is completely out of control, and it's part of this entire network of violence that exists on the far left. You dehumanize your political opponents. You fund paid activists to go and harass them and terrorize them. We've had a White House senior staffer just in the past week who has had actual representatives of the Democratic Party going around passing leaflets, trying to get his neighbors to harass him and showing people where he lives, where his wife lives, where his young family lives. If that's not political violence, if that's not political harassment, I don't know what the term means.
Yeah, I don't either. And the Vice President's got a great point there. And the rhetoric coming from the left is just putting everybody in grave danger. And we'll go through a lot of that tomorrow on the show. By the way, tomorrow, can we talk about tomorrow's show? We're going to have a little bit of fun. We've got to step back a little bit and smile and laugh. We'll do some fun trivia on tomorrow's show, an opportunity for you to win some great, great prizes. But again, that is coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, if you're in the Memphis area, 6 o'clock tonight, right across from Mission Church, we're holding a big press conference to welcome the National Guard to Memphis. Hope to see you out there. Folks, in the meantime, you get out there. No matter where you are in America, you be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.